1 Corinthians chapter 6. The subject for this Wednesday night discipleship lesson is going to be on sanctification. Sanctification. Some of you may or may not have heard this specific term. It's not taught a lot. Well, let me rephrase. It's taught a lot. It's just not taught with the term sanctification. The concept of sanctification is certainly taught a lot, but the word isn't used as much in Christian circles. But we want to talk about this idea of Christian biblical sanctification. So we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are," what is that next word there? "Sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So we see here that we are sanctified as part of the redemption process. That when we are saved, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Lord begins a sanctification process in our lives. The word sanctification, does anybody here know what it means? My wife has got her hand up. Anybody else know what the word sanctification means? Anybody want to guess what it might be? Not quite, not to grow so much. Little bit, but not in what we talked about last week, for example, where we are to separate from the Lord. The word sanctification, I'm sorry, called? Yes, it has that element in it. But essentially, sanctification is this. Sanctification is to be set apart for a specific task. So when we are sanctified, it means the Lord has set us apart to do something for Him. That makes sense? That's what sanctification is. In other words, every Christian, every believer, God sanctifies. It means He wants to set us apart for something special. So for example, a cup that is sanctified, it's set aside for a specific purpose, correct? It's set aside for a specific task, and that is to hold a liquid that you would drink. And so that is exactly what we're looking. So if it's used for something else, if it holds dirt, or if you use it to put screws and nails in, for example, it's not been properly sanctified or set apart for the use that was meant for it. And so when we go do something with our lives that God has not set us aside to do, it means that we are not properly even set apart. God has a specific plan and purpose for every Christian. I don't think oftentimes we realize that God has something special for you. Now we know that God has called us. But God has done more than called us. He has set us apart for a specific purpose. And that's what sanctification is. Sanctification means to be clean and set apart for God's use and possession. So there's an element of cleanliness there, of holiness and righteousness, along with that sanctification. You wouldn't use a dirty cup to drink from, even though the cup is for drinking, and it may be set aside, but a dirty one will not get used until it is clean. So the sanctification process is both a cleansing process and a setting aside a process so that you can do what God has called you to do. Sometimes this is called progressive sanctification because it is a process, something that takes for the rest of your Christian life, you're going to be continually clean and set apart to be used by God. As a cup that gets dirty, you clean it and you put it aside to be used again. And then after you use, you got to clean it again and set it. So there's that constant cleansing, setting aside process, progressive sanctification, if you will. It should be, and it happens to every believer. Now, sometimes I think we fight it. Sometimes I think we resist it. Sometimes I think we try to do our own thing, our own way. We got our own idea where we want to go in life, and we're not willing to necessarily yield to God. And when that happens, there is some contention between us and God when that happens, because God has a plan for you, and God forms a plan for you. Now, I do think that plan can change. I do think that based on who you are and your circumstances, when you come to the Lord, what things you've gone through, the mistakes you've made, the person you chose to marry, the person you chose to, the kids you have, where you live, I think that all has a part in God's overall plan for you. Because remember, God's plan is always perfectly matching who you are right now. So I do think it can change. The wonderful thing about this is you can never get to a point where God says, well, I can't use you anymore. Perhaps the only way that would happen is if God just says, all right, take you to heaven. But as long as you're breathing, God has a plan for you. Amen? So let's look at some other verses that talk about sanctification. Take your Bible, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse number 21, 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Notice the next word there, sanctified, and meet, or of you, or of or being correct for the master's use, or prepared. There's a better word, prepared for the master's use. And then it uses that word again, and prepared unto every good work. So if a man purges himself, and you can go back and look at what he purges himself from in the previous verses here, but it's obviously a man who purges himself from things that shouldn't be in his life. And when he does that, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctify, and meet, ready. Maybe that's the good word. Ready for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And so that's what God is trying to do. The sanctification process is to get you ready to do what God has called you to do. To do that, you have to be cleansed. You have to be clean. Yet there has to be confession of your sin, confession of things that, I mean, we're all sinners, and we're all going to continue to sin until we get to heaven. So there needs to be a process of cleansing. Going to God and saying, God, forgive me for this, and letting the Holy Spirit work on your heart. And as you do that, and as you purge yourself from things, and as you really, what we talked about last week, as you separate yourself more and more from the world, then this sanctification process can happen. I do not believe that you can be truly sanctified as God wants you to be sanctified if you do not separate yourself from the world, as we talked about last week. So again, as I say often, it's not your position, it's your direction. And if you're going the right direction, you're going to want to get further and further away from the world. And as you do that, you'll be more and more prepared and ready to do the work, the good work that God wants you to do. And so that's what God wants you to do. Look at Jeremiah. Let's go to the Old Testament, for example. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Obviously, the man who wrote Jeremiah is Jeremiah. Actually, Baruch probably wrote most of Jeremiah. He was, Jeremiah dictated to his scribe, Baruch, and who probably penned this, but the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he said it to Baruch, and Baruch wrote it down. But Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5, God is speaking here to Jeremiah, and he says this, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I noticed this, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah was sanctified or set apart before he was even born. Before he was ever born, God set him aside and ordained him to be a prophet. And so God can do that to us too. God wants to sanctify us. God wants to set us apart for a purpose, to accomplish God's purpose in our life. Let's look at another one. Let's go back to the New Testament now. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians is right before 2 Thessalonians, in case you're looking for it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here, again, the Bible talks about God wants us to be sanctified as God's answer to our sinful nature. Everybody here has a sin nature because you're born and conceived in sin. We're all born with a sin nature. Honest truth is, if you could live your entire life and not sin one time, you could go to heaven. That's impossible because of the sin nature. Everybody here is for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So since we have all sinned and we're all short, God's answer to the battle of our sin nature is sanctification. If we fight our sin nature by separating from the world and being sanctified, cleansing ourselves so that we can move to accomplish the purpose that God has put us here to do and what God has called us to do. Go back one chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3. For this is the will of God, even your, what? Sanctification. That ye should abstain from fornication. Again, there's that idea that if we separate or abstain from fornication, this is part of the sanctification process. Verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. So once again, sanctification is about holding us and separating us from the world, from sin, so that we can accomplish. The two don't go well together, sin and serving the Lord. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said, I'd rather you are hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth, he said. He said, you need to choose what side you're on. You can't have one foot on both sides of the fence. You're either in or you're out. If you're in, get in. Amen. And so God wants us. I think a lot of Christians, and I'm guilty of this. Everybody in this room is likely guilty of this, is that there's parts of the world we really enjoy that we don't really want to let go of. And then that we kind of want to hang on to. But those things, though they may not be sinful, they can hinder our sanctification process. And as we get closer to God, I think it should become easier to let those things go because we find more excitement with what God is doing in our lives. We find more, we need God more because of what's happening in our lives. Sometimes things go awry. You know, when you get in a car accident and you're worried and so whoever's in the car with you is suffering, maybe a broken, and the ambulance is being called or whatever's happening. I can promise you this. I can promise you, you're not worried about that the next episode of your favorite show at that point. You're not worried about the score of your favorite team that's playing at that night. You're not worried about that. Your focus is on what? God, help me and help my friend. So the more we need God, the easier it is to separate ourselves from the world. And I hate to say this, but that's sometimes why God allows problems to come in our lives. Maybe I don't hate to say it because I said it. But God can and does and has allowed. Look at Job. Look at all the things that Job went through. You know, he wasn't worried about, and I understand this is a little bit tongue-in-cheek here, but he wasn't worried about what was going to be on the TV. He wasn't worried about what his favorite football team was doing. He wasn't worried about all the various entertainment, the whatever was going on. He was focused on one thing. His kids were gone. His wealth was gone. He needed God. His attention was on God. And so sometimes these problems that come in our lives, these things that we suffer through, these things that we go through, they do have the benefit of focusing us on God, telling us we need God. That aids us in the sanctification process. Allows us to focus on God, cleanse ourselves, because we need God. So needing God and finding excitement in the things of God are the two ways that helps us separate from the world. When you really, 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 really enjoy what God's doing in your life, you're like, man, I don't want that stuff. This is more fun. But also when there's a problem and you need God, that'll also help you separate the world, because you want to get God's attention, don't we? And those help with the sanctification process. To properly be used by God, we must be in a position that we can be used. I believe if you take your Bible, look at we read this verse already. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21. This is a verse we read, but I want you to notice this, that if you don't put yourself in the right position to be used, you won't be used. Not like you want to be. And it's an odd term, to be used by God, because in a worldly sense, we are all against somebody using us. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, they used me? And it's not positive, is it? Correct? It's not positive. But with God, for God to use you is a privilege. The closest thing I can think of would be you're on a sports team and you can't wait for the coach to put you in the game. That coach, here I am, man. Put me in. And the coach says, okay. All right, Greg, get in there. That is what I'm looking for, right? That's what I want. I want the coach. I want that coach to get in there and get it done. I'm going to use you. I need you to do this. I played soccer growing up, and there was occasionally, and there was a, For a long time, I played offense, but occasionally I played defense. And there was this one team that had this one kid who was just phenomenal that we always seemed to go up against. And one day my coach called me aside and he said, Greg, I want you to get in the game and I want you to stick with that kid like glue. Don't let him score. I had a job. That's all I did. Wherever this kid went, there I was. And I fought tooth and toenail to keep him from scoring, and I succeeded. He never did score. Still lost the game. But that guy never scored because I was being used. I had a purpose, and it put me in. And that's what I wanted. The coach had a job for me. And this is very similar to what we're talking about here. God is our coach, and we got this game we call life, this purpose. Come on, coach, put me in. But are you ready for it? Are you ready? 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or ready for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Are you ready and are you prepared? Are you sanctified? Because if you're not, why would the coach put you in? I mean, if I hadn't been shown up to the practices and I wasn't ready, why would the coach put me in? I mean, if I just show up to the game and I hadn't showed up to a single practice or a single game until that game, and I just showed up, why would the coach put me in? He wouldn't, because I'm not ready. He can't rely upon me. And that's what we need to be for our Savior. We need to be ready. So when we get that call, when God says, okay, get in there, we're ready for it. We're ready to do that. And you never know when that's going to happen. You could be in the store and all of a sudden there's an opportunity for you to witness to somebody. Are you ready for that? Are you prepared? When the coach says, talk to that person, are you ready to do that? Are you prepared? Are you sanctified? Can God use you? To do that, 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that it doesn't use the word sanctification, but it uses a word that I think Brother Todd used earlier about growing. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so the Bible tells us that we're to grow in grace and grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That kind of explains the sanctification process, because as we are sanctified, it's a maturing process. If I had to put a word to define sanctification, that's the word I would use: maturity. Maturity. As our kids mature, we give them more responsibility, do we not? We're not walking up to a four-year-old and handing him a set of car keys and say, have fun. We're not doing that, because 4 years old, he's not mature enough to handle that. There needs to be some growing first, correct? Same thing with us. Throughout the rest of our Christian life, we're going to be growing, or we should be growing. And as we grow, God will give us more responsibility and give you more opportunities to get in the game and have an impact. And so we've looked at these verses before, but 2 Peter, you're already in 2 Peter, I believe. Go back to chapter 1. Chapter 1 kind of gives us 8 elements of growth, or 8 elements of sanctification, if you will. 2 Peter 1:5-7 says this, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Notice that adding process, that growing process, that as we mature as a Christian, we find that there's going to be more opportunity for God to put us in the game and to make a difference and an impact, because we'd be ready. We're prepared. So how does God set us apart? How does God cleanse us? How does God mature us? Because that's the key here. We want to be mature Christians. And just a maturity is not an age-related thing. So we tend to think adults are more mature than teenagers. But it's not necessarily always the case. I know some very mature teenagers. I know some very immature adults too. Wouldn't you agree? Do you want me to start naming names or something? Did I see? Why is everybody laughing? Oh, everybody's, I'm like, man, you made everybody look at you and you started laughing. All right, so I'm not going to mention names, but everybody's thinking of one right now. No. But so maturity, and I've for my kids, I've often defined maturity as this: maturity is taking responsibility for your responsibilities. That's what maturity is. Even kids have responsibilities. Clean your room. Clean your plate. Put the dishes away. Pick up your toys, right? Those are the responsibilities. So maturity is able to take responsibility for their responsibilities and do them. They don't make excuses. When they fail, they don't say, well, my brother, my sister, my so-and-so, they don't try to pass the blame off like Adam and Eve did. They say, no, it's my fault. It's my responsibility, my failure, my fault. I'll fix it. That's maturity. That's maturity. And as you mature in Christ and gain more responsibilities, your ability to mature is when the coach puts you in, you don't, when the coach says, get in there, you don't say, no, not right now. I'm not ready right now. But this is your responsibility. This is your moment. Put Joe instead. He's better at this than me. We got to be careful about that, because if you have a responsibility in Christ, when God gives you a responsibility, and look, if you're married, you have a responsibility. If you're a parent, you have a responsibility. If you're a church member, you have responsibilities. If you are a Christian, you have responsibilities. They come with responsibilities. Your ability to be responsible for your responsibilities is the sign of maturity. As a young Christian, we don't expect a young Christian to know all the things they're supposed to be doing yet. Because that's a process of what? Growth and sanctification. That's a process. We mature over time. So how does God do that? Well, first of all, the Bible is part of our sanctification process. Take your Bible, look at John chapter 17 and verse number 17. Just a few more things here and I'll be done. John 17, 17, Bible says this. Jesus is speaking here. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So sanctification process comes through truth, and specifically the Word of God, the Bible. So when we read the Bible, we learn about the nature and heart of God. And as we try to progress toward that sanctifies us. See, if I read the book of Proverbs or the book of Psalms, I get an idea of where God's heart is. And I want to adopt the same thing. Be ye holy, for I am holy, the Bible says. And so as we move toward where God is, that's going to separate us from the world. It's part of the sanctification process. But that involves knowledge. You have to know things about God. So that's where we read our Bible. You say, is it a sin if you don't read your Bible every day? No, it's not a sin. But it's a really good idea to read your Bible every day. It's a really good idea. So how much should you read your Bible every day? Man, I would read until you get something that... I told someone recently this. Too often we read our Bible, our answer to, okay, this will help you. Read your Bible and pray, and that'll solve your problem. Not quite. Because here's what I recommend you do. Read your Bible, but before you read your Bible, pray this prayer. So here's your prayer. Lord, show me something today in your word that I can use later today for your glory. Now that prayer, I promise you, will get answered every single day. So you start reading, and you'll read these verses, and you'll start thinking about these verses. Something somewhere down the day is going to come up where those verses are going to apply, and you're like, uh-oh, and a light bulb is going to go off, and you're going to realize something about God that you never had before, or an opportunity is going to arise because of these verses. You might be able to help somebody. You might be able to avoid make a better choice because of it. And then you're going to realize, wow, this stuff really does work. One of the problems that I think for a lot of second generation Christians, they're living, which I am, by the way, my parents were Christians. I'm a second generation Christian. My son's a third generation Christian. But we have a number of people in here who are first generation Christians. But second generation Christians, they often live off of the coattails of their parents or pastors' spirituality and not their own. So when they go off on their own, they don't have their own. And we end up losing many of them. They wander off, disappear, because they never find out how exciting it is to follow God. But when you come out of the darkness of the world and the trash and the garbage of the world and you see what God's doing for you, oh man, you don't have a problem doing that. You don't have a problem coming to church. You don't have a problem reading your Bible because you know where you came from. It's a big difference. So read your Bible and pray, but pray and ask God to use the Bible to sanctify you, to set you apart that day. If you do that every single day, Give us this day our daily bread. One of the best bread. I mean, yes, that means food, literally. But in another thing, the Bible talks about the Word of God being the bread of life. So we should get this every day and then ask God to use it that day somehow, some way for His glory. And God will answer that prayer every time. Something, I promise you, something's going to come up in the day. You're like, oh, that's what this verse was for that I've been thinking about. You'll get excited about God when you do that. Amen. So the Word of God, prayer, 1 Timothy 4:5. I'll just read this for you. 1 Timothy 4:5. For it is sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. So we hear another verse that talks about the Word of God brings sanctification. So does prayer. So does prayer. The Bible and prayer. Two main ingredients for you to get ready and be prepared for when the coach says, get in there. The Holy Spirit is the third one. The Word of God, prayer, and the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says this. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, notice this, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So the Holy Spirit has a part in our sanctification process. 1 Peter 1:2 says this, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So there it is again, the Holy Spirit. If you're following the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, He will set you apart and prepare you. Through Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll read these verses. Hebrews 9:13-14 says this, for if the blood of bulls, talking about the Old Testament animal sacrifices now, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge, remember that? We talk about purging, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That's what sanctification is. If the blood of bulls and the ashes of heifer could sanctify temporarily, how much more should the blood of Jesus Christ sanctify us, set us apart? We're redeemed. We're on our way to heaven. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We're set apart, amen, for a purpose through Jesus Christ. And then, of course, through faith. Through faith. Acts 26:18 says this. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Sanctified by faith. For what purpose? To turn from the power of Satan unto God. Amen. To receive the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, all of these things. That's what sanctification is. To open our eyes that we may see, to be ready, to be prepared for when the coach says, get in there. This is the job I want for you to do. Amen. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for these truths of sanctification. Help us all to continually seek to be sanctified in you. Sanctification process is important. And it is a progressive one, one that we will spend the rest of our Christian life involved in. But thank you. Thank you for setting us apart for something special. Thank you for wanting to get us in the game. We don't have to ride the bench. We can get in the game and make a difference. Make our lives have value and purpose and a place. We love you so much. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.